2 Kings chapter 6. That's where we'll be this morning, and so good to see a great Sunday morning crowd. And boy, how many of you like this nice fall weather? Amen. Me too. So thankful for it. The wind, you know, could go with or without, but nevertheless, it is starting to finally feel like October, and for that I am very, very thankful. You know, the Lord has been so good to us. You know, we do live in a part of the world, a part of our country, where we do not experience a lot of natural disasters. We do experience some from time to time, but I tell you, you look across our country and up in the California wildfires, and even up and around Montana, from what we've heard, the things that have gone on, and the hurricane season, with especially Florida and the Gulf, those people have really, really been through it. And so we definitely need to count our blessings, but also at the same time pray for our dear friends that are in these parts of the nation, and be thankful for how blessed we are in that regard. Well, I hope everybody's had a good week and a busy week, and we thank the Lord for, again, last week we had a wonderful Sunday with Dr. and Mrs. Comfort. We had our fall festival, and so thankful how the Lord blessed us with their presence and their ministry, and the Lord just really did help us. And then, most of you are aware that it was a busy week for us. My family, personally, we were able to close on a house and move on Friday. And several of you were able to, I think we had a total of close to 20 total that came out and helped, and I appreciate that so much. And those of you that prayed for us as well, and we were able to get everything pretty much moved in on Friday. And so we beat the rain and all of those things. So thank the Lord for that. Someone asked, "Well, Pastor, are you all moved in?" I said, "Yeah, we pretty much have everything in, but please don't ask me if we have everything orderly, because I wouldn't be surprised if I have different color socks on this morning. I hadn't checked yet, but I might have." Somebody asked me if I was able to find my shoes this morning, with all the stuff everywhere, and I got kind of tickled because I was like, "How did you know?" Because I had a hard time finding my shoes this morning, but did find them in one of those tubs that weighed down in the closet. And thankful to my wife, who's definitely more orderly than myself. She had labeled things. Hey, listen, you know, we men, we just throw everything in a tub and a box and be done with it and get it all in. That's why we can't ever find anything, fellas. But thank God for those that'll put some labels on things and let us know where we can find it. And so praise the Lord for that. But thank you, those that have been praying too. This house that we have, it's a true blessing. It's many answers to prayer, the location, the distance from the church. And we were just asking the Lord to plant us where we could best glorify His name in this community and as the pastor of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I believe the Lord has done that, and trust the Lord will give us many good years in that home, and you pray with me. Well, as you find your place there in 2 Kings, we need to be reminded this morning of God's goodness all the time. And even when we are faced with situations where it looks like perhaps evil is prevailing. This message is going to sort of ride on one of the messages Brother Comfort gave us in Sunday school when he was talking about how to deal with bitterness in our life. But it's not exactly the same, but it does have an element there of ways that we can respond to situations in our life that can cause us bitterness and cause us fear, really. And one of those things that we'll see here in 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 8, if you'll look there with me. 2 Kings chapter 6. This passage is rather lengthy, but I'm going to read it just for the sake of the context. We'll read beginning in verse 8. The Bible says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God, who is Elisha, told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. This went on several times. Therefore, in verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled this, with the Lord's help, Responding to Our Enemies. Responding to Our Enemies. Let's pray. Father, I do commit this message to you, and Lord, I realize that the principles and the guidelines that are given and your word go against our human nature. So Lord God, I do pray by the power of your Spirit that you would just encourage your people this morning in the area of how to respond biblically to our enemies, as we would see here in this passage of Scripture through the life of Elisha. Lord God, we thank you for what you'll do in the moments ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a guy by the name of Dale Carnegie visited Yellowstone National Park and was like any other one of the tourists there, or the guides in the park. He saw a grizzly out in the middle of a field. And this grizzly that he saw, it was a huge one. It was a big one. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's exciting. Has anybody ever been to Yellowstone National Park here? Just to kind of give an idea. Okay, at least a dozen of you. I have been there, and it is an incredible experience. I hadn't been to the Grand Canyon yet. I want to get there to that national park. But we went to Yellowstone, and boy, it is a beautiful sight. The buffaloes and the grizzlies and all the elk and whatnot that are throughout there. But this instance, he saw a huge animal, a grizzly out in a clearing feeding on a discarded camp food that had been out near the camp, and he had brought it to himself, and he's sitting there having a ball with it. And as he observed, he noticed that no other animals were around. And rightly so. This grizzly bear, he knows that this is his domain. Nobody goes against the grizzly bear. Nobody challenges the grizzly bear. But on this instance, he had feasted alone and no other creature would draw near. But a few moments went by and up came this animal. This animal was to challenge the bear, at least to come into his domain and start taking part of this food that the grizzly had found. Well, you guessed it. This animal was none other than a good old-fashioned skunk. This skunk had come upon this grizzly bear and walked through the meadow and toward this food and took place right next to the grizzly bear. Now, can you imagine this skunk just coming right up and having the confidence and the boldness to come right up next to this grizzly bear? Well, that's exactly what it did. And you know what happened? The bear did not object. The bear did nothing, and Carnegie knew why. Because you know why? It would cost the bear too much to get even. You know what it was saying there? He noticed, and what spoke to him about this illustration is that he saw that skunk. You know, it would have cost that bear a whole lot. To get in a fight with this skunk, it would have cost him to get real smelly. You know what? Hey, you're an enemy of mine. You're opposing my grounds. This is what I want to do. But I want to tell you what, this bear just left it alone. And I want to tell you something, church. There may be some enemies that we have and that we meet on a daily basis. But there's a biblical principle that many times when we want to take that enemy in our own hands and take the matter in our own hands, the best thing we can do is leave it alone and let God deal with it. And that's exactly what we see here in this passage, is it not? We see that revenge could have been given very, very easily. We see here, notice with me, the reason for the enemy. Well, who was the enemy? Well, number one, it was the king of Syria and the Syrians. He was angry. He was mad. And that was the reason that this guy was an enemy. He was wanting to go against exactly what Elisha and those were doing. They were just opposed to what the will of God was. Do you know what the will of God was this time? God was revealing to Elisha the plans of the king of Syria. He was telling on him, if you will. He was feeding back that information, and of course this king is at a point like, now listen, get all the boys together. And in Brinson's translation, he's basically saying, which one of y'all boys are telling on me? I want to know who is spilling the beans. Everywhere I go to attack these Israelites and to attack these people, hey, listen, I'm dodged. These people are moving. Every time I move to them, they're moving away. Somebody is giving away the news. And he was mad. And he was going to go after the man of God, Elisha. And he was going to go after and find Elisha, and he was going to bring him and do whatever thing he could to keep the will of God from happening. And you know, if I could define an enemy, you know, you can define enemies many ways. Was that skunk an enemy of that bear? Well, I tell you what, it could have been very easily. You know, enemies, sometimes we think of the first thing we think of in extreme cases, like, perhaps as an enemy of America, we think of ISIS, which they are. We think of national enemies, those that would seek to cause our country harm and hinder the freedoms that we experience, and rightly so, those would be considered enemies. But I would like to bring it down more so in the context of personal enemies. And folks, we run into those daily in our lives. Sometimes they're in the form of family. Sometimes it's in the form of co-workers. Sometimes it's in the form of neighbors. Sometimes it just, I don't know, it's different for everybody. But let's face it, enemies are reality. You know, I believe in that, in the real sense of the word enemy, as I look in the Old Testament and New Testament, do you realize the true definition of an enemy is this? Someone that is opposing your direction you are going. Someone that's trying to oppose the direction you are going. Someone that's trying to stop you, if you will. And you know, that's exactly what was going on here. Elisha was doing the will of God, and the enemy was going to oppose that and try to get in the way of that. And how do we respond to these enemies in our lives that will oppose us from doing what God wants us to do? Well, there is going to be some ways that I'll discuss here in just a moment that are the wrong ways, and then there are some right ways. But let's see here, the very fact, the reason of the enemy is because he's mad, he's upset, and we know in the Word of God that, hey, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And can you just mark that down, Christian? If you're living for the Lord, don't think it's strange when you get persecution. When you find people that try to oppose what you're trying to do for the Lord Jesus. And that's just a reality. And that brings me to my next point. We see the reason for the enemy. He's trying to stop the will of God. He's trying to hurt the man of God. But then secondly, look at the reality. We see that in verse 13. Now, just to come with me and imagine with me in your sanctified imagination there in verse number 13, he says, and he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. So they're going to go and find. And then verse 14, we see that the great host of the enemy is encamping around about them. And look at the response. Now, just imagine with me, okay? Verse number 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. All right? Now stop right there. Now, in my imagination, I don't know if they had Maxwell House back then, but I can imagine this fella going out, taking his stretch out on the balcony with his cup of coffee, and he's just waking up, maybe just trying to get the sleep out of his eyes, you know, just yawning. And boy, when he cranks back with that yawn, his eyes open up, and behold, a great host of the Syrian army is around them, has surrounded them. And one of the first things that comes to mind is that, oh my, what are we going to do? There is the reality of the enemy. And can I say this to you very clearly? And it's not to scare you and it's not to discourage you, but Christians, the Bible is very clear so many times. We have got to learn how to respond to people that don't like us, that oppose us, and try to get in the way of what God's going to do. Because guess what? If we're living for the Lord, that's going to be an everyday occurrence, most likely. Somebody is going to dislike you. Somebody will try to oppose you if you're truly trying to live for the Lord Jesus. But this guy here, he sees that it's a reality. And now we see, thirdly, the response. And this is where I would like to spend most of the time here, with the time we have remaining this morning, is the response that we see here from Elisha and his servant toward the enemies who are here, the Syrian army. Number one, I see the first response is fear. You know, if we're not careful, church, our first response to the enemy is fear. Afraid of how they might harm us. You know, I know Satan is very powerful, but friends, never forget that he doesn't even come close to the power that our King holds. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, that's who I'm talking about, King Jesus. And I see here that there is a man that, like many of us at times, when we're faced with people that oppose us and that are out to get us or discourage us, there is the temptation to fear. Hey, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with being aware of the enemy, but we should never be weary of the enemy. We can be aware of what the enemy is there, and to know that and to be cautious, as God would tell us, and to be vigilant. But listen, this thing of fearing and be afraid, listen, that fear is only to be to the Lord God. That is to be Him and Him alone. And we see here the first response is fear. Look in your Bibles. He says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And then verse 16. And Elisha answered. He said, "Fear not. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." So our first response is a response of fear. But then Elisha steps on the scene and he responds with a response of faith. A response of faith. Do you know a lot of times
with an enemy, somebody that's trying to oppose your walk with Christ, many times they will use the method of intimidation. They will. They will try to intimidate you with their words. They will try to intimidate you with perhaps their position. They can try to intimidate you in so many ways. But the truth is, God tells us that we can be prepared, even in this way, to know that we don't need to fear anybody that opposes us, but let our faith be in the Lord God, who will bring protection to us when those try to harm us. Look there in verse 17. What is the first thing that Elisha did? We talked about that in Sunday school. Brother Ricky did. About the disciples in the boat. But look in verse 17. It says, and Elisha what, church? He prayed. He prayed. And it's interesting what he prayed for. He had faith. He responded in faith. He knew God. He could see what others could not. And he knew God was protecting them. Even these Syrians did not know that God was protecting them, and they would find out. But he prayed for this servant. Look what he prayed for the servant. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. You know, he prayed that the servant would have some boldness. You know, church, when you're faced with intimidation, when you're faced with fear from people that you think might harm you or hurt you or hinder you in your walk with Christ, pray for boldness. Pray that as Elisha would pray here, Lord, open this young man's eyes that he might see that he doesn't have to worry about the enemy here. Help him get his eyes on you, Lord. And that's exactly what happened. And the Lord, it says in verse 17, opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Oh, can you imagine this scene, dear friends? God opened up and let him see some of the unseen things that take place in our life, in our world. That spiritual battle that is raging. God opened this man's eyes and allowed him to see the God's host, the angels that he gives. And I'll talk about here more in just a second for protection. But we see that this servant gets some boldness. But we don't see there. Elisha was the man standing in faith and said, Lord, I'm going to ask you that you would give this young man some boldness. He's scared to death. And hey, haven't we all been there? I'm talking to some people right now, and you are scared. You have some things going against you, trying to hinder your walk with Christ, and God is telling you, fear not. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you the boldness you need. And that's exactly what we see right here. And then, not only does he pray for this servant, but he prays for the enemy. He prays for these Syrians. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed. He prayed again unto the Lord. This time is for the enemy. He said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Now, we could have all ended right there, and Elisha could have said, Lord, smite these people. And we probably in ourselves reading that would have been like, yeah, he got them. They're done. But you know, most times, as a Bible student, you'll notice most times Elisha is spoken of, Elisha always responds with mercy and kindness to his situations. And that's the way God expects His people to respond, even to the enemy. And we're going to see here that he prays that not that he would kill them and wipe them out, but he says, give them a blindness, Lord. And God answered, it says, and he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. But I don't believe that this is totally taking away their eyesight. I don't believe that's the element, the full context of that. I believe that he's just pretty much asking, Lord, would you take away their thought process of what they were even trying to do? And we'll see proof of that here in just a minute. But he prays that there would be a blindness there. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. You have an enemy in your life that somebody just always seems to oppose you, discourage you, and your walk with the Lord? Can I tell you? pray that God would smite them with a type of blindness. Not a physical blindness. No, I'm not talking about that. But would help them to forget even why they give you such a hard time. To take away the reason, to make them come to their senses thinking, what am I doing? Why am I giving this individual such a hard time? It's not my enemy. There's nothing wrong with this person. They're not hurting me. They're not harming me. And you pray for that person. That God, would you just send something into their life to wake them up and take away that desire and that plan to bring harm to my life. That's what happened here. Here they are. They're ready to charge, man. They're ready to go to battle. They're ready to go to war. They're surrounding the city, man. They got the chariots, the horses. They're ready to charge. But all of a sudden, that comes to a stop. Those guys are just sitting there not knowing what to do. We see Elisha's prayer. Folks, please, please, never underestimate the power of prayer. A lot of times we want to take the enemies in our own hands when truly we need to get a hold of God and say, Lord, you see this person, these people, this situation is against me. It's against us. God, would you intervene and do something miraculous like this right here? It changed their thinking. It changed the mind of these men who had a mission from the king of Syria to come and get Elisha and destroy him if he had to. And that's where we see God step in and give protection. It says here in our Bibles that as they behold in verse 17, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. Listen, I want to tell you, God gives protection to His people. Always count on that. And in this situation, God had sent a host of angels to encamp with around about them. Hey, listen, never forget Psalm 34:7. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. You know, sometimes we think of angels as just messengers. But never forget it, Bible student. Angels are not only messengers, but they're soldiers. You think about Lord Jesus at the day that Judas would betray Him, and the Lord Jesus being in the garden, and boy, those soldiers laid hands on King Jesus, and boy, Peter wanted to take that matter in his own hands, didn't he? Well, he took out that sword and whoop, took off the ear of that one soldier, and the Lord Jesus rebuked Peter and said, Peter, put that sword up. I'm paraphrasing. You know what he said? He said, could I have not called the Father and He would send 12 legions of angels? Oh, yes. What was he saying? That the angels would come and sing? No, I'm telling you what. The angels would come with the wrath and judgment of God. They're soldiers, not only messengers. And boy, that's what this servant sees. He doesn't see angels singing around. He sees angels around there ready to battle. Can I tell you what? God's people, the same angels of this day are the angels that you have today. That has not changed, dear friend. It's an unseen world. We can't see it with the physical human eyes, but we see it by faith. And I'm praying that God would open up our eyes in this area of being intimidated by enemies and to know that God's going to take care of us. And we don't need to cower in fear, but look to Almighty God in faith, knowing He's faithful. We know that we see Elisha's prayer, we see God's protection, and then we see the enemy's perplexity. Man, they're confused. Elisha said unto them, look, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. They just went. Here they are, to come to the guy they're supposed to destroy and get and kidnap and whatnot. Now they're just following him. They're just following him. That's the power of God, church. That's the power of God. That's what God can do. And so they're following him, and there's perplexity there. And it says, and when they got to the place, the Lord said, Elisha said, Lord, would you open their eyes now that they might see, that they might understand of what's going on. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and guess what? And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria.
Wouldn't you like, I just would like to be a fly on the wall at certain stories in the Bible. Wouldn't you? And this is one of them. It's like, here we are. This is like the Navy SEALs of the Syrian army. Man, they've been sent out by King Benhadad to go out and get this Elisha, this guy who's spilling the beans on me, telling the generals where I'm at. Go get him. And so, boy, they go out. Here they are. They find themselves waking up to their senses from this blindness right in the center of Samaria. The capital there. And they're sitting there and they're thinking, how did we get here? You know what, church? God can do the same thing to your enemies. He can bring them to a place in their life where they realize, what have I done? How did I get here? What is going on? And God can bring that type of situation into your life as a Spirit-filled Christian. And the power of God in your life, it brings them to a place really at your mercy. They were at the mercy. Nothing they could do, church. They've been brought and led right into the center of the home base of the military, of the Israelites. There's nothing they could do. They were at the mercy. And God can do the same thing. And you'll do, I pray, what Elisha did and what he told the king to do. I'll tell you this, let's look. We see God's protection. We see the enemy's perplexity. But then I want us to see the third response. We see a response of fear. We see a response of faith. But then I want us to see there is a response of fierceness. Look at verse 21. What did Joram, King Joram, who was king of Israel at this time, what did he do? It says in verse 21, "And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw them." And he had great respect for the prophet Elisha. And that's where you see the words, "my father." That was a term of respect. He said, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" Repeated for emphasis. Basically what he was saying, "Elisha, you want us to take them out? We can wipe them out right here, Elisha. It can be all done. God has blessed us. God has brought the enemy right here in our camp. Oh my. Let's take them out. Shall we do that, Elisha?" And then, I don't see that. That's what the human response would be, would it not be? You think about that, church. What is your response to people that oppose you? The natural, the human that we all have, by the way. There's not a person in this room, even those of you that are saved and unsaved, we have an Adamic nature. We don't lose that until we get to glory. It's that old nature that goes against the Spirit of God. But that old nature wants to respond with vengeance. Hey, let's take them out! But boy, let's be reminded of something this morning. Aren't you glad God didn't take us out? Let's not forget that, church. The Bible says that we are enemies of God. You know, and it says very clearly in the Word of God, and we'll read here in just a moment even more so, that we were at enmity with Him. But we see a fierceness here to have vengeance. But you know what Romans 12:19 says? "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." It says here, "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." One of the great victories that you can have this morning that I can have is to realize that if anybody opposes you in life and your walk with Christ, do not look at them as somebody that you're going to get back at. It will hinder you greatly. That is not the biblical method. That is the Adamic method, the old nature method. And that is the human tendency to do. But God says, "Nope, listen, I'll take care of them. You totally trust them into my hands, I will take care of them. You trust me by faith, I will protect you. I will be faithful to you." And as Brother Comfort said the other morning in his message on bitterness, he said the principle there is Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, there's that tendency for fierceness that is a tendency. But not only do we see here the temptation response for fierceness, but then we see a spiritual response. And this will be the end of our message here. We see Elisha's response, and we see it a response of favor. Favor towards the enemy. Now this is where, now get it now, this is where the world says, ho, 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 ho. Preacher, listen, I know you just moved, it's been a hard week, but you have lost your mind now. Favor? To give favor to the enemy? Well, let's see what Elisha does here. And look back in your Bibles. It says here, the answer to the king of Israel's question in verse 22 is found. Elisha answered, said, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow?" But look at this. He says, "Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. Do you see what he did here? He showed them favor. He could have taken them out, but he showed mercy. He showed kindness. You know, that's what God did with us, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says very clearly in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, that's all God's creation, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Oh, when God had me zoned in His thoughts, I was an enemy of His. But He brought me into the camp of conviction of the Holy Ghost. He brought me into the camp of His compassion. He looked down on me and He said, this young man despises me. He uses my name in vain. He mocks me. He mocks the people that live for me. And I did all of those things. But yet, I love Him. And I'm going to show Him favor. Not that I deserve it. I'm an enemy. I don't deserve favor. I'm an enemy. But God, who is rich in mercy, showed favor unto me and unto anybody that will come unto Him and believe His Son, Jesus Christ, died for their sins. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." You know what He did? He took away the enmity. Because of that relationship of rebellion I had against God, there was enmity. But oh, praise God, by the blood of the cross, it was slain. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, "And you," Paul would say to that church, "that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He," Jesus Christ, "reconciled." What an example towards our enemies. You know, He showed them favor. He showed them kindness. As the Bible would say, it was like heaping coals of fire upon them. Just loving them, loving their enemies, and praying for those that despitefully use you, as Jesus would say. He says, "Look, show them kindness, and you will see the power of God in your life." Now, what I mean by this enemy, that listen, again, it doesn't mean that you're not protected. It doesn't mean that you stop being aware and vigilant of enemies and making yourself exposed to them. But my point here is to do what Elisha said, and it's showing mercy and asking God to have mercy on them. Hey, you know what Proverbs 16:7 says? Mark this down, church. Proverbs 16, verse 7. "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." That's what happened here. Favor that was shown to these guys. And you know what it all boils down to, folks. Brother Ricky mentioned it this morning in Sunday school class. Those fellas, it appears that they exhausted all their human energy and then went to the Savior. But God just wants us to start off by getting to Him. And calling them out. Do you see what happened in this story? Do you see what happened, folks? What the armies of God, the Israelites, who were powerful, powerful soldiers. Man, they were talented. They were gifted. They had courage. They had strength. And man, they could have gone forth and wiped out these guys and gone in into all that and caused great things. And listen to this. What the armies could not do without great expense and loss of life, get this, God did peacefully with one man. Imagine the lives that could have been lost from the Israelites going against the Syrians. Could you imagine the expense, the mess, the bloodshed? Folks, I'm here to tell you, with compassion as I can, that's what happens when we take matters into our own hands. And instead, let's let God deal with our enemies. He can do a lot better job. You see, the Lord took care of them. And we know that the story would go on and the Syrians would end up coming back at a latter time, but it was because of judgment upon the Israelites. They still did not trust in the Most High God and fear Him and love Him as they should have. But the truth is, in this context and this historical account, this biblical account, we see God intervening upon enemies. And that's exactly what we need to do. You know, Jesus dealt with this, talking about there shall be a great reward for those that love their enemies as they should. Hey, listen, do you realize the context of that? He's not saying, if you really love your enemies, you'll have a great reward. It's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus, study the context. What Jesus is saying right there, listen, saved people, Christians, you can love your enemies properly because you know what's ahead for you in glory. While you're here on earth, people are going to mistreat you. People are going to accuse you. People are going to lie on you. People are going to take advantage of you. People are going to do that. But He says, listen, disciples, remember, your reward in heaven is great. What's His point? Love them. Pray for them. Be a witness to them. But don't let them scare you. Jesus told the disciples, fear them not, which can kill the body, but fear Him that which can kill both body and soul and cast into hell. That's the one we fear. So listen, I want to encourage you today, church. Listen, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what kind of enemies you have in your life that are opposing your walk with Christ. But I want to tell you something. God is greater, and He'll do the same thing for you that He did for this servant. And listen, perhaps you need to pray, Lord, let me be like that servant and see and realize the protection You have around me and understand Your power, O God. And I believe He'll answer that prayer. I believe He will show you His great strength. And then I may be talking to someone here today. It might be a member of this church. It might be a guest here with us. But you consider yourself unsure whether or not you are a child of God, whether or not you have a place in heaven. And you may think, man, Pastor, I've done too wrong. I've lied to the Lord. I've lied to other people. I'm guilty. I'm an enemy of God. Listen, let me tell you something. God has mercy upon His enemies. And He will extend mercy upon you today if you will simply, during the invitation time, if you would come forward and ask God to save you, or even sitting right there in your pew, were to call out to God and say, God, I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe He died for me on an old rugged cross for my sins and rose again the third day. If you'll believe that, God in His mercy and His kindness will save you. My friend, that's the God of the Bible. He is merciful, even unto His enemies. Let's pray. Father, this is something that is not easy for us to hear. We all have those in our life that, if we're honest, just seemingly do nothing but cause us trouble, cause us heartache. They try to
intimidate us. They try to manipulate us. But yet, Lord, You've even given us biblical response even to them. That number one, we do not need to be afraid. We can trust You and Your protection and Your guidance. That, Lord, You can even change their minds and their hearts. Lord, You can do a mighty miracle. And so, Lord, I pray for all those here today that are facing some enemy situations. Would You help them to apply these truths of the Word of God to their life? And then I pray, O God, if there be one, two, three, or more here today that they're still unsure whether or not they're going to go to heaven. They never realized how merciful You are, Lord. That You have extended mercy even to those that are Your enemies so that they might be saved. But it was only met by the cross of Your Son, Jesus Christ. If they've never come to that point, would You give them the courage, Lord, to get that settled today? Would You do that, Lord? God, I'm asking You to pray during this. I'm asking You, Lord, to help these that are struggling and those that need help. I'm asking You to give them the courage to get things settled even during the invitation time. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray.